Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Live from Tin Roof, Baltimore, this is 104.5 The Zone's exclusive coverage of the Titans versus Ravens in the AFC Divisional Round. Presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans.
Well, we'll just call it bonus 3HL and bonus midday 180. It starts right now. We'll be with you for not one, but two more hours tonight. We're live from Tin Roof in Baltimore. Certainly want to say thanks to the Tin Roof crew for being so great to us. Also, thanks to Farm Bureau Health Plans for keeping us so well-traveled during this postseason. Brentwood Hearing Center as well. Been a whole lot of fun. Here today with Titans fans, the Midday 180. We're on for 4 hours. We were on for 4 hours. Now we start two more hours of bonus coverage, and we start with the voice of the Tennessee Titans, Mike Keith, who sits down with us as the crowd starts to grow behind us.
Hello, gang.
Hello, sir.
Hello, Michael Keith.
What is happening?
No better way to start off our bonus coverage than with the bots.
That's so nice.
How was your trip, Mike Keith?
It was outstanding.
Yeah?
It was not too windy, not a little better than last week flying into Providence. So very happy to be here and ready to go see what this thing looks like tomorrow night.
What is your gut telling you as we're about 24 hours away?
I like our chances. I like how this team's playing. I like the type of game that I think it's going to be. I think it's a situation that if we are in it in the fourth quarter, this is not a team that has been in a lot of situations where they've played in close games. They haven't trailed in the second half of a game since week five. They have they've been dominant.
Wow.
And I just think our ball club is going to have a chance to stay in it and stay with them. And I think the longer that goes on, the better it is for the Titans. I think they are a difficult matchup for anybody. I think we're a difficult matchup for a lot of people as well. I think it's going to be a real ball game.
So one of the questions we posed today on our show that everybody jumped in on was, who's the one Titan that has to have a big game that we need to hear you call his name a lot? Not a Ryan Tannehill, not a Derrick Henry, but somebody like that, offensively, defensively. Like I picked A.J. Brown just because we didn't hear his name a lot last week. You know, I think Kenny Vaccaro was one pick,
right.
Jonnu Smith. Just somebody like that that we want to hear you say his name a lot. What do you think?
Jonnu Smith is my guy. He has one catch for 9 yards in the last two games. He can be a real matchup problem in this for what they like to do. So I think Jonnu Smith on offense. On defense, to me, it's Kevin Byard. Kevin Byard is going to have to play well in run defense. He's also the type of guy who needs to get a tip ball or two. And he's got that sort of that GPS, Coach Mack calls it, for the football. We need a player or two like that in this ball game, and Byard is the type of guy that can make it.
Find that turnover.
Just find the ball somewhere and give us – one easy score, a couple of easy opportunities, and we've got to take advantage of anything we get like that. We can't drop an interception.
Yeah.
If they put a ball on the ground, we've got to come up with it. I mean, those are the sorts of things that have to happen when you play a 14-2 team at their place. I mean, they're the best team in the NFL in the regular season. Last I checked, they were a double-digit favorite in this ball game. That doesn't happen in the NFL. The reason it is because they are really, really good. They're not overrated. They're not this. They're not that. They are really, really good. And in order to come in and beat a team like that, you've got to make something big happen.
One thing they've done, and you pointed this out, not trailing in the second half, they're plus 97 first quarter differential. They just come out and pummel you before you even know what hit you.
Lamar Jackson has over a third of his rushing yards on the year in the first quarter. He has 424 rushing yards in the first quarter. One of the things that Mike Vrabel has really preached to the team is you've got to come out and be ready for the speed. Right. You've got to respect the speed right away, and you can't let them jump on you because this guy is so fast, because they go fast, and because they use so many different formations. They will play three tight ends. They will go three wide. They line up in the pistol. They lined up in the pistol this year more than every other team in the NFL combined.
Jeez.
So you're going to see all sorts of things. You've got to be ready assignment-wise for how fast Lamar Jackson is, yep, and the speed and the tempo with which they play.
Yeah, I think you guys keep hitting on it, and that's to keep the game close, right? Because that's what Baltimore's been able to do to everybody. They have faced the fewest rush attempts
right
out of any team in the NFL, and there's a reason, because they jump on you in the first quarter. So it's imperative for the Titans to keep this game going, keep it as close to tied or in the lead, and play with the lead, however you want to do it. No score separation, that is key.
Yeah, as long as you're within the ballpark and you can keep doing what you do, because the one thing that you know about Wink Martindale is he's bringing pressure.
Right.
I mean, he's coming, and you're going to get it from everywhere. I mean, what he did to us last year in Nashville, mm-hmm, 11 sacks, 106 total yards, 1 of 10 on third down. I mean, he's coming with heat. When you're behind and you're predictable, he can just tee off. When he has points, when he has a big lead, he can tee off.
Yep.
You can't let him do that. Now, this Ravens defense is very good. This is not Ray Lewis, you know, and
Ed Reed.
Burnett and Ed Reed and Sam Adams. I mean, there are things that have happened to them at times this year. The biggest thing they did, though, is after September, they have not given up a 50-yard play. So early in the season, they were having all kinds of trouble giving up big plays. They haven't done that lately. And, oh, my goodness, if the Titans could hit one big play early, it would be huge.
Mike Keith, our guest, Tin Roof in Baltimore. We were discussing the pass game last week. Obviously, you're going to have to get more from Tannehill. You're going to have to get more from the receivers. A combined 2 catches for 10 yards. Corey Davis is another name that's come up. I mean, if you're the Ravens, you got to account for Derrick Henry, and you can't cover everybody.
Right.
Everybody can't get all the attention in the world. Some guys are going to have one-on-one opportunities.
Well, it was Derrick Henry's birthday last Saturday. It's Corey Davis's birthday tomorrow. So maybe
that.
Absolutely.
Oh, here we go. Oh, the TV live hits are starting.
Here we go. I think it's possible that they serve an adult beverage here. Is that true?
I think it's possible some have been consumed already.
Outstanding. Well, that's what you should do when you travel with your NFL team in the playoffs. You should have a good time.
People are having a good time here. Lives. This isn't a look-in, more it's a live sound-in of what we're experiencing here at Tin Roof. So Corey Davis's birthday.
Well, that's it. I mean, so Derrick Henry went off on his birthday. Why didn't Corey Davis go off on his birthday? That would be outstanding.
And it was a winter storm last week that hit Foxborough. It's going to be like 67 degrees tomorrow here. Is there a spring, you know, breeze called Corey Davis that will blow through Baltimore?
We have a funny history with northern games played in unusually warm weather. We've done it in Pittsburgh. We've done it in Buffalo. When we were able to win here a few years ago, that's usually a pretty good omen for us. And so when I saw those temperatures, I thought, that works.
Wow. Yeah. See, when you're talking to the encyclopedia here, you get all kinds of
meteorological data.
Well, I like that.
Well, and I didn't know it was Corey Davis's birthday either. I feel great about this now.
Well, it's not until tomorrow.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
The interesting thing.
make sure that Drake doesn't send him a happy birthday message like he did Lamar Jackson.
We don't need that.
Well, he sent one to Lamar Jackson. So that's good.
There's the curse.
We've had a bunch of former Titans on this week, and they all have said to a man who were part of one game or both, like Keith Bullock, that the Titans lost to the Ravens in the playoffs, the defense played great. It was just not getting breaks. It was key turnovers.
Right.
But they were the number one seed those times. So it's not like this hasn't happened, that a lower seed hasn't gone and beaten a number one team on the road. Just happened to have been the Titans that got beaten by this Ravens team.
It hasn't happened in 9 years. You know, there was a period of time where I think it was from 2006 through 2010, the six beat the one 6 of 8 games.
Wow.
But since then, the six against the one, 0-10. So
They're due.
Good. I mean, it happened twice in 2010. It happened in both conferences that year, but it hasn't happened since. But we certainly know it's happened in this series. And I think this is the right kind of team, because while the Titans don't have anything to fear, and while they're not, you know, they're not nervous about anything, and why would they be? They're not playing it like they have nothing to lose.
Right.
They see themselves, much like those Ravens teams did, as a team that could go and win the thing. And that's the way this ball club sees themselves. They don't see themselves as 10-7. They see themselves as 8-3.
Right.
That's who they think they are. And so for that reason, this ball club believes they can come in here and win. The outside world thinks it would be a massive upset, and I get it. They don't think that. They haven't practiced that way. They haven't talked that way. They respect the Ravens, but they think if they come in this week and do what they did last Saturday, play their game, that they're going to the AFC Championship game. And I think that's the right attitude in all of that. And it may or may not work out, but to me, the belief, much like those Ravens teams did, they walked into our place believing they were going to beat us. And they played like that. And the games were a little fluky in some ways, and things went their way, but they also made things go their way, and you have to give them credit.
Mike Keith hanging out with us. You got another segment?
Of course.
Okay.
I got whatever you need. I got an hour or two. I have time.
Let's do this. We'll come back, another segment with Mike Keith. We'll have basically 3HL until 6:45, then a combined 3HL midday 180, then the midday 180 will take you home for the final hour tonight until 8 o'clock. But we will continue with this playoff special on the other side. More 3HL coming up.
Nick.
Little bonus 3HL action up until 6:45, then it's 3HL 80. As we combine with the midday 180, they'll have the final hour. So listen, I don't care if you're sitting in your driveway. Just stay in your driveway until 8 o'clock tonight. Do whatever it takes to hear all of this. I mean, there's no reason to stay. If you're at work and you're just listening on your computer, don't leave work. Just stay there. Get something done. You can keep cyberloafing. For that matter, listen to this. Mike Keith joins us for another segment. It was interesting. A couple years ago, this team goes to Kansas City. They get this crazy unlikely win. Then they go up to Foxborough, and it just seemed like, maybe not ready for what got thrown at them that day.
We turned into the pumpkin.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was like, oh, my gosh, it's a new era of Titans football back in the postseason after essentially a decade-long break.
Yes.
Mike Vrabel takes over, 9-7 last year. We all know what happened the last Sunday of the season. This year, another 9-7. But along the way, you find your quarterback.
Right.
Along the way, you develop a wide receiver that's not Derek Mason or Drew Bennett, who had been the default settings for developed a wide receiver. Oh, by the way, this running back that you've, you know, drafted in the second round asserts himself and becomes the top just pure bulldozing running back in the NFL. All those things happen. It didn't feel like the same 9-7, and now here they are playing their second playoff game again within a span of 3 years. But here's what I'm trying to say, Mike Keith. That 9-7 didn't feel like other 9-7s. It goes back to what you said. They view themselves right now as 8-3 with Ryan Tannehill. This feels like momentum towards another era of Titans football.
I think the four winning seasons in a row are something that really does not get discussed enough because of where we are in terms of stability. Now, listen, there's going to be a lot of decisions in this offseason. All 53 guys are not going to be back. There are going to be some familiar names who probably will not be back because you can't keep everybody. I don't know who. I don't know what John Robinson's puzzle looks like. I don't know what players and their agents want. But the stability factor in this is you've been hitting on the top draft picks consistently. You've added pieces. You have a culture the way you want it. I think the character of the culture and the credibility for what they've been trying to do is what really came through in Foxborough last week. You don't win that game unless you're grown up. That's the one you get to sit at the grown-up table at Thanksgiving and Christmas because you go in there and do that. And I think it proves that you have a shot at a game like this. When we went into Foxborough 2 years ago, I think we all felt pretty good about, you know, that's exciting in this, but I don't think anybody realistically thought they had a great shot in that ball game. It was like they were sort of first-timers at the dance and whatever. It feels different now. Now, again, you may not have enough tomorrow night. You may not. They're really good. But I think you feel like you have a much better shot in this game than you did the New England game 2 years ago because of the overall development of what they've been doing.
You talk about that, Mike, in the culture, and I know we've talked about Miss Amy a lot and what she's done, but it really hit home today. I felt like we had Chris Johnson on, CJ2K, and the way he talked about Amy Adams Strunk and the things that he said, you know, I don't think I ever probably would have left Tennessee if she was around during that time. Just the relationship that she creates, the comfort, the communication, all of that. Just to hear him say that, a player from the past, and then you mentioned just culture and kind of what this organization is right now at this point. Miss Amy is a big part of that, too.
Huge. And I think when Chris's situation came about and he departed, we were at a period of time that Mr. Adams was at the end of his life. He was not traveling. He was still involved. Mr. Adams was making the call on everything until the day he left us.
Oh, yeah.
But he was not involved in the same way. He was not plugged in the same way he was in the early days when if we had a problem, he was going to make a decision to solve a problem. While he never lived in Nashville, he was very involved with everything and had people that he trusted who were involved. Her level of involvement and the fact that Kenneth Adams has had boots on the ground for nearly 20 years mm-hmm. in this part of the country, he knows what's going on. She spends a lot of time in Nashville. That whole thing is a big deal because she sees and hears what we need to be successful. The stability on the football side, and she and Kenneth are very much part of the football side, and Barkley, Kenneth's brother. That stability and the fact that John Robinson, her pick, has given us such stability. John's in charge. Everybody knows John's in charge. Yep. Mike and John get along. The staff only had one change last year, and that's because a guy became the head coach of the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
Terrible reason for a guy to leave. He becomes head coach of the Green
Bay
Packers.
Who, by the way, also one of the eight teams left.
Yeah, he went 13-3. Yeah. So I just think – but that all goes to your point. All of that emanates from her. And 2 years ago, she didn't think the situation was right with Mike Mularkey. She said, I can go another year or – I can get off the bus now. And that's what she chose to do. And a lot of people wouldn't have made that decision.
A gutsy call.
It would have been much easier to let him go through the third year, but she just didn't feel it. She just didn't think we were completely where we needed to be, and that was the reason she made that decision. Didn't mean he's not a good guy. Didn't mean he's not a good coach.
Right.
But it just didn't fit with what she wanted. She has the head coach she wants now.
Listen, that was a bold move. There is no doubt about it. And we talk about Amy Adams Strunk. Let's talk about John Robinson as well. You mentioned the draft picks, and the health of this franchise just feels so much stronger than it did even in that win at Kansas City and going to New England, and I get all that. Let's talk about the move to get Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. Because this team is not in the playoffs. Had they not been able to figure out how to get that done in. By the way, Miami foot the bill for some of that, too.
$5 million.
Unbelievable move by and General Manager of the Year based on that one move.
And he got a number six pick out of that deal, and that number six pick's probably going to start at linebacker tomorrow in David Long. So, I mean, and essentially that ends up costing us our fourth-round pick this year. If that guy is our long-term answer at quarterback for a fourth-round pick, and we get a guy who's a potential starting linebacker in the deal too. That's pretty good. But John has a real vision for everything, and the key to this league is being in the mix. If you're in the mix, and the Ravens are the perfect example of that. They're in the mix every single year. You know, this is the first time they've been the number one seed.
That's true.
If they beat the Titans tomorrow night, it will be the first time they've hosted a championship game in 50 years. Even for all the success they've had, it's hard to be the top team, but if you could just be in the mix, maybe this is the year you get on the run and go win the whole thing. A lot of times it happens when you least expect it. But you've got to be in it. The Steelers
have such a great point.
The Steelers have been that team. Right. I mean, listen, look at the Steelers' problems this year. They still went 8-8. That's a great job with everything, with the Antonio Brown thing, with the Le'Veon Bell thing, with Ben Roethlisberger thing, yep. And they still go 8-8. That's what you want to be. Is you want to be a franchise like that who's in it. I know everybody wants to go 13-3 every year, and I do too, but that's not going to happen, you know, which is why, to Mickey's point, some 9-7s may feel different than others because of how you come into the postseason and what happened for you to get there with them. The quarterback thing, though, was absolutely massive. We didn't go to the playoffs last year because we weren't good enough at the quarterback position when Mariota got hurt.
That's right.
Mike Keith, our guest hanging out with us, got a couple minutes left. You've called every playoff game the Tennessee Titans have ever played. We just had the 20th anniversary of the Music City Miracle. Couldn't let you go without asking about that. It was fun reminiscing all week. I'm sure you did interviews and talked about it. But first of all, an amazing call. As many people have pointed out who understand broadcasting, you set it up before it happened.
Well, I got lucky. Brilliant. I mean, let's be real honest.
But preparation creates luck, and you were prepared.
The setup on that was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely amazing.
You set it up, you call it, and literally, it's a top five play in NFL history. I hear your voice on NFL Network all the time calling that and saying SportsCenter top 10 on SportsCenter from your baseball
call. Do they use that all the time?
All of the time.
Somebody told me that this week. They should give me a shirt or something.
But to know that you've done something that long after we are all gone, people will still hear that, that has to be a pretty cool thing, because when we all get into the business, we don't even dream of having a moment like that. And you did, and you killed it. You crushed it.
Well, thank you. I want to have another one like that tomorrow night. Well, because that's what's made all of the 20th anniversary talk really special, is because we're at this moment in time. We're in this thing.
Yeah.
We're alive.
Yes.
And you have to, if the Music City Miracle happens in September in a game, it's great.
Right.
It was a big deal because it happened in a playoff game.
That's right.
And because of what happened in the 22 days that followed, you know, the fact that we beat Indy, we beat Jacksonville, and we went to the Super Bowl and played the great game against the Rams, and that's what really makes it special. The postseason in this league, and the postseason really in anything, Havlicek stole the ball. You know, I can't believe what I just saw. I mean, all of those sorts of things. If you're lucky enough to have a moment like that in postseason, you're very, very lucky. And I appreciate for this team having been out of the postseason for nine years. We're out of the postseason for 9 years. I'm savoring every minute of this.
Yeah.
I will say this. I might have sounded more shocked when I realized we were going to beat the Patriots at Foxborough last week than I did at the end of the Music City Miracle. Because it was like when Logan Ryan intercepted the pass, it became real.
Yes.
We're going to win this game.
Yes.
Even though logic says, well, 15 seconds, you're going to win it anyway.
Right.
But the minute he took the ball in the end zone, it's like, we're beating the Patriots. Because all those Patriots fans were walking out, and they couldn't. First of all, they couldn't say anything. they like to talk,
yes,
but they couldn't say anything. And I think there was also this stunning revelation that this may be it for the Brady Belichick thing. In some ways, I felt real sympathy and almost honor that we were there at a moment that was so important. Not so much, oh, we put him out, we stuck it to him, but it's like, you know, that's a significant thing if you love this game. Mm-hmm. What they have done is so significant. And you got to – I mean, it's great beating them. Yeah. It was great seeing them all leave. But you tip your cap and say, my goodness, that's pretty fantastic. 9 Super Bowls in 18 years and 6 titles and wow.
Well, we tip our cap to you, Mike Keith.
Well, thank you.
Another anticipated call tonight or tomorrow night, Titans.
Well, I'm going to make one tonight later here at 10 Roof.
Fantastic.
Just for the people here?
Just for the people here. We're going to do something, but that won't have anything to do with football.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike Keith. We will come back. More of this extended bonus 3HL brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans coming up.
New year, new...
Bonus 3HL coverage tonight. Appreciate everybody who's hanging out with us. Appreciate the Farm Bureau crew for making it happen. Farm Bureau Health Plans, they understand the X's and O's of healthcare coverage. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. Look, if you're looking for the watch party tomorrow night, here's what you do. George Jones Museum, 2nd Avenue, Nashville Underground on Broadway. Party's going to start at 6 o'clock. Drink specials, all kinds of Titans cheerleaders, the Blue Crew. Everybody's going to be there. It's time to tighten up for the playoffs. Titans official watch party at the George Jones Museum or the Nashville Underground. That is tomorrow night as the Titans take on the Ravens. Also, if you're coming to Baltimore to watch the Titans, the official road rally party at Tin Roof in Baltimore, which is where we are right now, hanging out with all these loud and crazy Titans fans. Titans Radio will be broadcasting here midday 180, 3HL all day today. It'll be us. Tomorrow from 3 to 6 p.m. Saturday, January 11th, which is tomorrow. It's the pregame tailgate. Also have all kinds of getaways and fun stuff. And for those who are here, Titans fans putting together a tailgate at the Ravens Roost from 6 p.m. to kickoff. Tailgate is located between lots zero and or lots O and N, rather, by the stadium.
There you go. We'll be there. We'll be here and there. And if you're back in Nashville, those watch parties are awesome, man. The highlights coming from last week's watch party when Logan Ryan intercepted the pass and ran into the end zone. Phenomenal. Titan man, Titan macho man, everybody.
What, the highlights from my living room when he intercepted that ball would have been phenomenal.
Oh, okay.
why you always got to turn it into that?
Oh, I was thinking about your four dogs.
I know, that's why it was crazy.
They were howling.
They were all howling, cheering for Logan Ryan.
So if you start jumping up and screaming and cheering for the Titans, do they, like, get angry and go at you, or?
They start barking at the TV as well. If you start cheering for a football game or a basketball game, they get into it. Yep.
67 degrees tomorrow and cloudy. They have pushed the rain back past midnight.
Did you want it to rain? Would that help this team or
not? I didn't because I'm going. Okay. But rain, I think, would have helped Derrick Henry. Because I think Derrick Henry would be more of a mutter than Lamar Jackson.
Well, here's the thing, too, with that read option and the slippery ball and that little bit of deception that goes into it, there ain't no deception with the way Derrick Henry gets the ball. Tannehill just turns around and hands it to him.
Listen, here's what's going to happen. They blitz 55% of the time. They are going to attack the line of scrimmage, right? They are going to try to get Derrick Henry to shuffle his feet, and we all know that it takes him a minute to get going, right? That's going to be the game plan. That's why the play-action passing game has to be big. Tannehill has to be cool, calm, and collected in the pocket. They've got to protect for him, and he's got to push the ball down the field. What was the complaint with Marcus? That he wouldn't push it down the field? Tannehill's been doing that all season long. Got to get that back this week.
There's been so much discussion about playing well out of the gate and not letting them separate the score. They have feasted this year on getting an early lead and then just blitzing the crap out of whomever they were playing and making life difficult for them.
They can do whatever they want to do defensively when they have that lead. They don't have to worry about it.
So no matter what, you can't let this game get beyond two scores if you're the Titans. And literally what we've seen them do all year, if it's two scores or less, even in a two-minute offense, what do? Turn and hand it to Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
They stay with the run game.
You know, I do want to make this point, though. If there is some score separation, if it's early enough, I have all the confidence in the world in Ryan Tannehill to lead a comeback. If they have to go to the pass game, I feel comfortable from a Titans perspective, having watched that team all year, that he can throw it. It's not ideal by any stretch of the imagination, but if they get up by 17 points in the first half, I don't think it's necessarily over.
It's not that I don't have confidence in Ryan Tannehill or A.J. Brown or Corey Davis or whatever they can do to get back in that ball game. The problem is I have a heck of a lot of confidence in Lamar Jackson and what their offense does and their ability to put points on the board. And that's where I'm concerned.
Totally agree.
If that score is different because of what they're facing offensively, not because I don't have confidence in Ryan Tannehill and what he can do. I think he can easily lead a comeback. But the problem is, I liken it to LSU and Joe Burrow, right? How do you beat LSU? You keep the ball out of freaking Joe Burrow's hands.
Well,
because that guy is going to run up the score with
I don't think you beat Joe Burrow and LSU, personally. And I think they run Clemson. But
I think Clemson would Clemson would disagree with you.
Yes,
but we'll see what that defense can
would,
do.
But
it's a similar situation. Yeah, and I'm with you on that, obviously. We know I've been very adamant about it. But time of possession in this one, keep the ball away from Lamar Jackson. The Ravens, you know, average 35 minutes a game in time of possession. The Titans cannot allow that to happen. Titans coming in 28 minutes a game when it comes to time of possession. But, of course, that included the first six games when this offense was not clicking.
Right.
And let's be honest, struggled to score a lot of points. So take those six games out. Maybe it's a little bit different. But at the end of the day, you got to keep the ball out of Lamar's hands.
By the way, there are tons of Titans fans in here. There's one guy with a Ravens jacket. When he walked in, he got booed.
Did he turn around and walk out? Is he still here?
He's still here. And his girl's wearing Titan stuff.
One of those house divided things.
Yeah,
I wonder if they have a license
the smart
plate.
One.
I hate those license plates.
Oh,
I hate it. I hate that.
You can't have a house divided Ravens Titans, can you?
No.
How could you marry
that? That's like an Alabama Auburn house divided. It doesn't exist because you don't marry that person.
Right.
That's not okay. That's how I feel about Titans Ravens rivalry.
Everything you believe in, the rock, the standard of what you believe in, is completely different. How could you sleep with somebody like that?
Yes.
My goodness.
Yes,
I'm just saying. I'm not a house divided kind of a guy. Homie, don't play that. I hate those dumb license plates.
Hey, real quick, I saw some interesting notes on Andy Reid today. 21 seasons for Andy Reid, 15 playoff appearances, 14-16 playoff record, no Super Bowls. Kansas City with their best shot at it, I would think. I've told y'all, I like three underdogs straight up. That's not one of them.
No.
I love Kansas City to roll Houston.
I agree with you. That's the one line where I'm like, meh, yeah. What is it, 10 now?
When I made notes at midnight last night, you had a 5-point spread between Seahawks and Packers. That was the smallest one of these four games against, you know, the remaining teams that are left. Texans and Kansas City was a 10-point game, Kansas City spread. Vikings and 49ers, a 7-point favorite. And then the Titans were still right at a 10-point dog.
All right.
Right here in the Charm City.
Here they are. Seattle is a 4.5-point underdog at Green Bay. So it slipped below 4.5. That is the closest game. Then you've got San Francisco, a 7-point favorite against Minnesota. Then you've got Houston, a 9.5-point underdog at Kansas City. Then you've got Tennessee, a 10-point underdog in Baltimore. Titans, the biggest underdog of the weekend.
Well, if I'm Vrabel, I'm selling that.
Here's what they're saying over there.
With that.
Here's what they're saying over there. Why not us?
Yep.
Take everything and LFG.
Mic has been dropped by Brent Doherty. All right, Midday 180 guys are here. A little bit of a combined deal we'll do for 15 minutes. We'll turn it over to them. They'll take you home for the rest of the way tonight. Thanks for all the hospitality from Tin Roof here in Baltimore. Don't forget all you Tin Roof Nashvillers. Saturday, February 18th is Tin Roof Nashville's 18th birthday party. And they're going to celebrate it with you. Live music from one of Nashville's hottest, most energetic bands, the Chris Ferrara Band. They've also got DJ sets with DJs, I'm going to guess, Sago and Tylo or Tillo. They know their names. Either way, the party starts at 7. Also, you can enjoy a Titans watch party tomorrow at the Tin Roof on Demunbury, and they'll have buckets of beer, draft pitcher specials, and 42 TVs blasting Titans and Ravens. Back with more after this. a final segment. This is combined. It's the Midday 3HL 80. I don't know what to call this. We got everybody up here but Hutton. He is doing a little extra TV action. Paul Kaharsky, Chad Withrow, Brent Doherty, Don Davenport, Philip Noel, who has done yeoman's work today. He's now in his ninth hour. Is that right?
Of Sleepy Phil. Sleepy Phil, we call.
I mean, it started with Bloody Marys. It'll end with vodka Red Bull. I don't know.
You know what's great about Phil being here in engineering?
He's not Kirby.
I describe Phil attention. As he's like a really good left tackle in the NFL. You never hear from him. And Kirby's the exact opposite. You hear from him on every play. 15-yard penalties.
Kirby's the pesky receiver.
Talking to people in the background so loud that you can hear him the entire time. That's Kirby.
I said earlier, like, everything's perfect. We, knock on wood, haven't had any issues. You know, we're going to have to give Kirby a hard time because, you know, if Kirby was here, we'd have some kind of issue.
Oh, Kirby would be the worst.
Oh, yeah.
Also, we'd be going to drink absinthe after this, and then Kirby would be like, the problem with this is I don't like licorice.
Kirby spent $48 on a shot of absinthe and then tasted it and said he hates licorice.
But he had talked about absinthe all day like he knew everything like about it, Edgar Allan except Poe. What it tasted like.
What a hot mess. All right, boys, so what do you think about this crowd? It's not too shabby, huh?
No, I think it'll only build as well.
Yes.
People are pouring in for this game. Our friends at Tennessee Tickets, who we've been talking about this week, told me way more action this week than last week, and I think we all expected that. Much shorter trip for our contingent that drives.
About a 10-hour drive.
I would have said shorter, cheaper flight, but the flights didn't turn out to be super cheap.
No.
Because the want to get away column was blacked out from, well, before kickoff of the New England game.
We had lots of Titans fans on our flight this morning.
But easier direct anyway. And I think there'll be a good contingent. A lot of people this morning were talking about getting on this in the same section. So they were trying to marry up. I don't know if you'll be visible. 109 or?
Yes,
109.
That's
where Don and I are.
We went and bought tickets because I want to take this in as a fan on Saturday. So, and we were chatting with some Titans fans that made that 10.5-hour drive.
Yeah.
And they're all in section 109, too. So that should be a nice little Titan section.
My man Derek over here, he drove 16.5 hours to New England. And then he said, I got to keep the same plan for Baltimore. He thought about buying airline tickets. He's like, nope, we're going to drive. So he drove to Baltimore. So he's put in whatever that is, like 50 hours of driving.
Yeah. You know how long into that trip I would be asleep? About an hour 45, I would start to drift.
Yeah, Withrow, how would you
be
do
asleep
on
in
that?
Mount Juliet if we were leaving town?
How would you do
there's a lot
with
more people
Paul
coming
for
in the day of the game tomorrow also, right? There's a lot of people that'll get here for the tailgate tomorrow. Tailgate party here from, I think, 5 o'clock here at 10 Roof
You're
Baltimore.
Asking questions. You're the tailgate guy.
Right. Well, there's tailgate parties in the parking lot, but I know they're going to have a Titans rally here as well.
Well, we look forward to hearing your report.
3 o'clock, 3 to 6 p.m. As I said before, I said it the whole time.
Right.
Titans rally, 3 p.m. If Paul would shut up and listen to me, 3 to 6 p.m., Titans rally here at 10 Roof Baltimore.
Your reporting starts from there or starts in the parking lot?
I can rotate.
We're sending you to the parking lot.
I'm very versatile, Paul.
I did
the parking lot last week. It was quite an adventure for me.
You checked into the Lee Company countdown to kick off from the parking lot.
Good interviews, but I was being mauled out there. Mauled!
Yeah, so what kind of reporting is involved here? Just types of alcohol, things like that? Table jumping?
Trying not to burp after a keg stand done in the parking lot. That's the reporting. That's when you know you're truly a professional when you don't let anyone know that you're burping through a keg stand.
Chad walks around and goes, we're going streaking!
Right.
We're going streaking!
It's like the beer every hole during a round of golf. Like, I take a shot at every tailgate I go to and then report on it. No, I'm kidding. Just two or three shots, not all of them. But yeah, it's going to be fun.
Chad's dropping out of the public eye, kind of like the piece of the royal family.
Yeah, they've entered the transfer portal. It looks like America got him.
Yeah. Philip Noel, by the way, thinks that Greg Joseph will assert his dominance tomorrow with a late field goal.
I think he'll assert something other than his dominance.
But he's not here to do that, as you know.
And we may be discussing yet again the failures of this team to properly
address. You're so negative, PK. Come on.
What is the cause
been on
for positivity?
You've been on the kicking thing
since
training camp.
Training camp.
Yeah.
Well,
what is the reason that
defense,
you have great
you
faith
were
in Greg
it.
Joseph?
He's made all his extra points. I don't know.
You know, the nutty thing is, though, if they hit a couple of kicks and maybe score a couple of extra points, who knows what happens after week six? It's almost like that flaw was what sort of led them down the road to Tannehill. Yeah. Like, my Lord, we're going to have to do something else.
This game wouldn't be at home, but they wouldn't be playing the Ravens at home, but they might be somewhere else or doing something else. I mean, we could reconstruct the season in a lot of different ways. They're fortunate to be where they are based on that six-game start, and that's one of the impressive things about this team. And Keith Bullock, I know you guys talked to him. When I talked to him early in the week, he thought it forges something different in you, and that was part of why they lost in 2000 and in 2008 was because they were home having the cushy side of this deal. And I know Titans fans very badly want to believe that not being on the cushy side, quote-unquote, of this deal this time will work to the Titans' advantage. And I know everybody wants to hold on to every angle of hope you can have heading into it. So more power to that idea, at least until the end of the first quarter when Baltimore tends to have a significant lead.
Here's the deal, though. You're Mr. I don't know. Your take on this, like, momentum, whatever, you're not big on that kind of thing. I'm big on that. I look at this Titans team and I say they've been in playoff mode since midseason. They've been in must-win since midseason. I think there's something to be said, as a former athlete, there's something to be said to already be in that place mentally over and over and be at that level.
Sure. Whereas, but what they do in two of those games, they lost to Houston at home and they lost to the Saints at home.
Well, the Saints was a different story. Saints was a different story. You don't have Derrick Henry.
But did anybody in 2-4 think, okay, this team's going to go 8-3?
No.
We won the last
but
eight teams.
But my point is
playing.
There's something to be said for already being in that mentality, whereas Baltimore hasn't played a meaningful game since week, what?
Yeah. Well, we've seen it happen. We've seen it happen before, and we've seen it happen in the context of this team. But there's also plenty of times where it goes just according to plan, and the number one seed picks up right where it left off.
Very true.
And it shows it's the number one seed for a reason and goes to the Super Bowl. And, you know, heck, the time it goes to the Super Bowl and wins heartily as the other number one seed loses.
Yeah.
You know? But so, if it's not the Titans tomorrow night and they don't give us a story and everything, I think probably the whole country would like to see Baltimore or San Francisco.
So we're I know we're close on time here, but our question today, one of our questions today was, who's the one Titan that has to have a big game that we need to hear his name, not named Ryan Tannehill, not named Derrick Henry? Who's the one that you say, okay, for the Titans to come out successful, you know, who's the guy that we have to be talking about that Mike Keith needs to call his name?
I didn't hear what Don just said because I don't have headphones on, but I will say, based on your conversation, I agree with Don on the momentum part of it. Now, the flip side argument of that is what we talked about earlier with Philly. Philly's been in playoff mode also, and it didn't help them. Here's the difference, though. Titans are a lot better than Philly. And Titans, while they're playing their backup quarterback to start the season, they're not going out there with McCown in this game. So I do think that there is, I don't know how big of the advantage is, but there's a slight advantage when you've been in that playoff mode for a while versus the team that hasn't. Does it get them over the top? I don't think so, but I'm kind of with Don that it could factor early.
Top of my head answer, Don's going to be Kevin Byard, just like clean, neat.
Yep.
P's and Q's everywhere, no missed tackles, maybe grab a tipped ball, that kind of thing. But also, I think
play.
That Jayon Brown spot's got to be clean. And I think David Long's a good, fast player. And I think maybe we could see Imani Hooker in there or even Dane Cruikshank. And I like all those guys for the speed, Mickey, but I don't know about the mistake-free for the inexperience.
And that's the thing that Wood gives you, but the speed
too
thing
slow.
Could hurt
speed
him.
Goes away.
Here's
yeah.
the thing, though. They run a lot of plays with blockers in front of Lamar Jackson, and maybe that's where a Wood could help you by getting through that traffic. I don't know. I would lean toward David Long.
See, even if that guy gets blocked out, he's going to have to circle back a lot of times,
right.
And he can't circle back and chase.
Right.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be fun. Playoff football, I mean. Let's do this every year.
Look at this. Look at this love cross that we talk. Have. A little crosstalk. Everybody. Where's Jay Hunt?
Except for Hunt.
Hunt.
He's literally on TV right now.
He's literally doing TV.
He didn't
TV.
Want anything to do with
no,
it.
No, Hutton hates us.
What,
so
oh, what a TV
Johnny
diva over
Big play Burton
huh?
over there.
He's got his special sweater on. Look at Buck is positioning himself to be in the back
there
of the TV
go.
Shot.
Look at all these
hope
TV
that someday
guys.
He'll actually be in the TV shot.
Can I say something about Hutton real quick? He comes off as this really nice guy. He's as big of a jerk as anyone at the station.
That's right.
Everyone needs to know that about Hutton.
Every bit of a jerk as I am, but
once you get to know Hutton, you realize like he's got an edge to him also, like everyone else.
I just don't try to hide mine.
Yeah, right. I like how y'all hit that when he's not sitting here and can't hear what you have
to
say.
Like I wouldn't say it to his face. Coming up, another hour of the Midday 180, maybe a special guest or two will bring the day to a close with Titans-Ravens talk and then a lot more on 104.5 The Zone tomorrow.
3 to 6 p.m., we're going to have a Titans rally here, and also want to thank our sponsors, Farm Bureau Health Plans, for all of our coverage tonight with this playoff special.
Man, so much fun here, and guess what? There's a whole another hour of fun left. We'll call it the Baltimore 180. They'll finish us up tonight with one more hour of programming.
Take us home, boys. We're going to drink.
They're going to take us home.
Already started.
Ginger ale being poured for myself right now. Hey, we appreciate everybody, Farm Bureau, Tin Roof, everybody who's made this happen, Brentwood Hearing Center. Gosh, this has been a great trip. Let's have some more fun tonight. Let's have some more fun tomorrow. Get the win and keep it all going next week. Bonus coverage with the Midday 180 coming up next. 104.5 The Zone.
1 in 3.
From Tin Roof, Baltimore, this is 104.5 The Zone's exclusive coverage of the Titans versus Ravens in the AFC Divisional Round. Presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans.
Midday 180. The Titans playoff special on 104.5 The Zone, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. Protecting Tennesseans since 1947. Glad you're with us as we broadcast live in Baltimore. Tin Roof, our location. With Chad Withrow and Paul Kuharski, I'm Jonathan Hutton. Ryan Albanese making the show happen for us back in Nashville. Philip Noel and the Titans radio crew is here. And the fans, they are in downtown Baltimore. Guys, we are back and we're not leaving. What's up?
My Uber driver said no chance that the Ravens lose to this team. Said Ravens have it under control.
They're not worried at all?
He said Titans have a nice offense, but defensively they can't get it done. And this is not going to be the team that ends what the Ravens have done this season.
We all know that Uber drivers are the authority in a city when it comes to game predictions. And they're never
impartial. That's what I thought. That's why I asked.
But you know what is funny, though, Paul, is I was talking to my Lyft driver a week ago in Providence. As you know, I'm not an Uber guy. And he said, everyone that I talked to, they were all very much on the side of, this is a bad matchup for the Patriots, right?
Yeah.
This is not going to be good. These are Patriots fans saying the Titans were the better team coming in. They weren't that surprised.
No.
With the Titans win last week, this city would be shocked.
Oh, yeah.
To your point, if the Titans came up here and
got we all know why you're not an Uber guy, because when a group is standing around and says, let's get an Uber, you throw up your hands and say, I don't have Uber.
I'm a big Lyft guy.
I'm not an Uber guy.
Why is this not a Lyft-approved city?
But, Chad, it's a great point that you bring up, because last week I have not felt that much doubt around the New England Patriots, both locally there and nationally, since they trailed 28-3 in the Super Bowl.
Or a home playoff team.
And people expected them that there was a 50-50 chance that they were going to be eliminated in the wild card round because they were coming off that loss to Miami. Even though they were a 12-win team, they should be a 13-win team and have the bye, and they felt it was crucial. You are exactly right about this city and that team here with the Ravens. There is a hype and a buzz around the top seed with Lamar Jackson and Ingram and the way their defense has been playing that they're not losing. Like they're going to be in Miami playing for the Super Bowl. That's the expectation, and there's no doubt in the fans' minds here. That's the difference. And it's a completely different animal and a different team than what we saw with New England. New England wanted to run it. Belichick allowed Henry to have all those carries with the way they tried to stop him, but they didn't load the box. Allowing to run clock and saying, hey, if you're going to score 14 points, we just need 15 to win. That was the game plan. Tomorrow, Baltimore is looking to put up 30-plus. Like that's their game plan. So I'm intrigued to see how the Titans approach it quickly out of the gate.
Yeah, and out of the gate's key. You know, I almost tweeted out during our break between our show and this episode of our show, the Ravens' first quarter numbers, which are very impressive score-wise. But you look at their second quarter, and it's just as good, and third quarter and fourth. I mean, they've beaten everybody handily quarter by quarter. The thing is, you just can't, if you let it go in the first quarter, that enables them to do it in the second, third, and fourth.
I realize I'm kind of weird by asking this question and find it fascinating because I'm sure Vrabel would roll his eyes. But I'm intrigued to find out if the Titans win the toss, if they elect to receive the football tomorrow. Because normally they want it on defense. Baltimore has been off for a couple of weeks with their first team O with Jackson. Do you put your defense out there and try to get a quick stop and then take possession? Or knowing what Paul just pointed out, that they're so quick out of the gate and that your defense has allowed opening drive touchdowns recently, do you want your offense out there to try to get the lead quickly and then play with that scoreboard?
I can see both sides of it. I mean, if you defer, what you want is a three and out or a five and out or something where you then get the ball, go score, and then you get it at the beginning of the second half. And, you know, that double-up scenario where you try to get the ball at the end, or you hope you have the ball at the end of the first half,
yeah,
and can do something like the Titans did in New England, then they didn't make the most of the first possession of the second half. But that's an ideal scenario in the NFL. I think a defensive-minded coach would like to think you can stop a team on the first series, though the Titans haven't been terrific at that. And I think you have to factor that in. I'd take the ball.
I think last week was obvious that you kick and you defer to the second half. I think this week is obvious if you win, you take the ball and you go down and score to start this game and set the tone because of that Ravens offense. And, Hutton, you alluded to it. You know, the game plan last week dictated you could run Derrick Henry that many times for 182 yards and have 71 passing yards and win the game. Not going to happen this week. The mentality has to be shown from the start. Even if that's a coin toss, we have to score. 35-plus is probably what you're circling if you're the Titans, just because of, you know, we talked to Trent Dilfer about it. There's no catching up to this Ravens offense. This is what they are at this point. You know, it's really difficult to slow them down, so you've got to go score quick.
And Paul, going back to your first half yardage, a third of Lamar Jackson's yards come in the first quarter. They come out of the gate swinging, and then the defense tries to adjust. And by the time they try to adjust, they get an extra possession or two, and they extend their lead.
Yeah, and that's something Vrabel talked about. You know, people are going to make a big deal out of Marcus Mariota running the scout.
Yeah.
And that my response was going to be, well, if he was so good at doing this, he'd be doing this. Like, as a starting quarterback NFL.
He may do a little bit of it tomorrow. Who knows?
I agree, but still not as a starting quarterback in the NFL. And Vrabel kind of poo-pooed at least an element of that, saying, you know, a lot of people have a lot of good people doing it on scout, a lot of fast people doing it on scout, and their numbers in the first quarter are outrageous. So apparently it didn't do them very well in terms of getting ready for the speed.
Ryan Tannehill tomorrow night. It will take more than 70 yards passing. Going into this game, the Ravens have their MVP of the NFL. The Titans, it's being billed as the best quarterback in the league this year in Lamar Jackson against the best running back in the league in Derrick Henry. But the Titans also have the highest-rated passer in the NFL in this game. And he's been an afterthought. He would be rated eighth on a list of eight quarterbacks remaining right now. But he was the storyline of the Titans season because they went on that 7-3 march on the final 10 games to get to the postseason. They didn't need him last week. They need him to play that November-December stretch type level to be in that game in the fourth quarter.
And he needs help. There's going to be plenty of one-on-one situations. He needs guys to get separation.
I also want to point this out. It doesn't have to be 40 passes. He just needs to be 18 of 23, 18
right.
of 24.
Back to the 23-27 range. Exactly.
Yeah, what he was doing.
But he needs guys, when they've had trouble against better defenses, people have not gotten open enough,
right,
often enough. So A.J. Brown needs to get separation. These are good cornerbacks, Humphreys, Peters, Carr. And with good safeties, Earl Thomas is a good cover guy. These guys have to get some separation. They have to find routes that work. They have to get off the jam. I think they like to jam. I talked to A.J. Brown about this week. He said, you know, some people have, some people haven't. I'm a big guy. I should be able to get off that stuff. And he should be able to get off that stuff. Jonnu Smith should be able to break free. And again, last week we talked about all these. If you take away primaries, what about the secondary? What about the tertiary? You know, Khalif Raymond's back. That should stretch the field some. It could only be five or six snaps, but those could be the five or six snaps where you find the big play. And it doesn't have to be to him. It could be him taking some safeties deep and clearing some space.
And also, what about the secondary option for your primary option? And I'm talking about getting A.J. Brown involved in different ways. I mean, if he's your primary guy in the pass game, get him on an end around. Get him on a reverse. There are different things you can do to give him opportunities to make one guy miss and get 30, 40 yards where it may not be there before. There's a lot of different things that can happen in this game where the Titans are going to need to get really creative because, again, it goes back to what I said before. You have to have the scoring mentality in this game.
And
this
Corey
is not
Davis.
A game plan like last week.
And Corey Davis. How about some Corey Davis? Two or three has been the standard for him. That's fine if it's two or three. Let's have him be an important two or three. Or he's allowed to do more.
I'm trying to just think, how would you describe the Titans' offense throughout their run? I don't think they have to do anything special tomorrow. They have to be
dynamic.
What they've been. And what they were offensively, it was A.J. Brown, but it was really it was about hitting 7 to 10 wide options per game. Spread it out. Be who they were. It doesn't have to be one or two guys. They need to spread it out to the multiple options that they have. And those guys have been routinely making one or two plays per game.
I think you could also
the sticks.
Use the size, right? Their linebackers are not a giant bunch. They're run and chase types, right? Run and chase types. But can they run and chase A.J. Brown? Can they run and chase Derrick Henry when those guys open up and go? Can they run and chase Khalif Raymond when he opens up and goes? You should still be able to run around. But this might be the game where Jonnu Smith puts his shoulder down and knocks the first guy over. Might be the game where A.J. Brown bounces off the first guy instead of running away from the first guy, knock the first guy over, then run away.
We are live tonight on 104.5 The Zone. Midday 183HL was earlier with our 104.5 The Zone and Titans radio coverage leading you up to tomorrow's big game, divisional playoffs, Titans and Ravens here in Baltimore. Tin Roof Baltimore is where we're located, and the Titans fans are here at the bar grabbing some food at Tin Roof. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight. And it's just getting started. Because
should be a great time.
The meetings are taking place. I, you know, last week, Paul, we saw John Robinson pop by. Does he do it again?
He's a karma guy. All these guys are superstitious guys. Wonder if that might come into play.
Coming up, we'll hear from Greg Cosell, get his take throughout this show on the specific matchups that the Titans are facing defensively against this very unique, for the NFL, option attack with Lamar Jackson. That's all straight ahead. It's 104.5 The Zone's coverage of the Titans and Ravens, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. More coming up with the Midday 180.
Is your heating and air?
Jackson will keep it on the read option. He's got it at the 40, 35, spins at the 30. He's got room, 20. Lamar Jackson, 10, 5, touchdown Ravens! Lamar Jackson with the spin, the sprint, and the score!
I mean, that's Michael Vick in 2004, that play. This is unbelievable.
Jackson sets in the shotgun. Third down and 3 from the Ravens 17. Mark Ingram sets to the right. Jackson wants to throw, has all day, going deep. Down the middle of the field, looking for Hollywood Brown. He's got him! Dolphins 30, leg race 20, and he's going to score! Hollywood Brown, his second touchdown on his second catch in the NFL.
Oh, my God.
83 yards, and the Ravens are on fire.
This is not an evolution. This, to John Harbaugh's words, is a revolution.
It's not an offense built on the quarterback being a distributor of the football. That's what makes this offense different than any other in the league. It's built around him being a runner. What the Ravens do with Jackson is the only thing you can do with Jackson. He throws well enough to execute the pass game given their run game dimensions and the stress and pressure that it puts on the defense. But it is not built on him being a distributor of the football the way almost every other, not almost, but the way every other NFL offense is built.
That's Greg Cosell on the Baltimore offense, a group that's put up big numbers this season. The numbers in the running game and the passing game stand out. But everything this offense does starts with the run and Lamar Jackson. It's the Midday 180, Titans playoff coverage here on 104.5 The Zone, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it, protecting Tennesseans since 1947. Big thanks to Ryan Albanese and Philip Noel for making the show happen. David Reed is the chairman of the board with this production that you'll hear coming back from break. Lamar Jackson turned 23 last week. Listen, he's younger than Joe Burrow. He's younger than Joe Burrow. He's won a Heisman. He's a two-time ACC Player of the Year, Pro Bowler, the NFL's touchdown leader, first-team All-Pro. He has the QB season rushing record, the youngest quarterback with a perfect passer rating. He's the youngest quarterback with a playoff start now, and he's likely, he will be, the youngest MVP since Jim Brown.
It's quite a resume at that age. You would think it's only going to get better, and all of Baltimore expects him to add his first playoff win tomorrow night.
And that's why you're so negative, Paul, on this outlook for the game.
Look, I have a lot of trouble.
Paul, why are you so negative all the time?
So negative.
I have a lot of trouble seeing this team.
You know what, Paul, GTFO right now.
Win
go if you're going to be negative.
I have a lot of trouble seeing this team win this game tomorrow night.
We have negative PK all the time. And joining us here at Tin Roof Baltimore, positive PK.
What's up, sport?
He's here.
It's great to be here. This is great. I'm so excited for this game. I really think the Titans, and you guys don't mind, I'm going to tape you with my phone. I like to record these types of things. Listen, last week I didn't think they'd beat the Patriots, but they did. Now I feel like they can beat the Ravens. I feel really good about this game.
What?
Especially from the kick. I think Greg Joseph could kick a 58-yarder at the gun. I'm so confident in this team's ability to kick the football. I wasn't before, but now I am. I feel great about it. I think Vrabel should fake punt in his own end. I think he should go for it on 4th and 50. It's playoff football, guys. You got to go for broke, you know? I mean, listen, during the regular season, you play conservative. But now, there's a trip to the AFC Championship game on the line. I feel so good about this team and where they're going. I expect a big Titans win tomorrow.
Positive PK, your thoughts on Marcus Mariota potentially getting the Titans ready for Lamar Jackson this week?
I think he's done a great job. From what I've heard, he has really emulated Lamar Jackson's moves. See, listen, when he was a starter, he had to concentrate on controlling the game, but now he can be the scout team quarterback, and that's a positive thing for the Tennessee Titans. Right, Withrow?
Absolutely.
Withrow, great win by the Vols, by the way. How about that Gator Bowl win? Listen, when they were down 22-9, I thought it was over. But then now I see that Jared Garantano is one of the best quarterbacks. This guy is clutch. How about that win, Withrow?
Great win, positive PK. I have to ask you also.
I just love the SEC. I do. I think LSU is going to win by 5 touchdowns. And I cannot wait to be chanting SEC all night long on Monday night. I am so pumped for that game.
Positive PK, I have to ask you, what do you think about Darren Bates' choice of music in the locker room during open
great
media
question.
Time?
I think it's lovely. See, these guys have to express themselves. These are young, impressionable guys. If listening to some hardcore rap with a few cuss words in it gets people pumped up to practice, gets them ready for games, I'm all for it. I wasn't before, but now I understand that that's what fuels Darren Bates. This guy's one of the best special teams players in the NFL.
How did now come to be your kind of trigger word in positivity?
I'm so positive and I get so excited. I used to be a real negative person, but now I've seen the power of positivity. That's why they call me Positive PK.
Are you going to be writing a love letter to Mike Mularkey, who just recently announced his retirement?
Yeah, I really think Mike Mularkey did a great job when he was here. The decisions he made, I know people talk about that, the back-to-back West Coast, you know, at Arizona, at San Francisco when they lost those two games. Maybe they should have won them, but listen, the team did its best. He did his best. Before, I was very negative about it, but now I understand that, you know, he's given it all he has.
Positive PK, can you give us your thoughts on Terry Robiskie and his tenure as offensive coordinator?
It was fantastic. I thought this offense was humming. I thought he got a raw deal. I really thought the run-pass ratio was fantastic. I think he should have gotten another year. Don't get me wrong. I love Arthur Smith. I think he's done a fantastic job as Titans offensive coordinator. And I like Dow Loggins, too. Dow Loggins was fantastic.
Corey Davis, 5th pick in the draft. I tend to feel like there's not enough. You got to have a dynamic wide receiver if you're 5th in the draft.
That's why you're so negative, PK. I think I think Corey Davis could be the next Jerry Rice. He hasn't gotten his opportunities. What is his fourth year in the league? Listen, I understand a lot of people had negative thoughts about this guy, but now when you look at his production, especially with a deep threat on the other side in A.J. Brown, now Corey Davis can make a lot of plays. He's gonna have probably 12 catches for 185 yards tomorrow.
Final thing for you, Positive PK. I have been told that you have really come around on Jason Wolf. Your thoughts?
Oh, Jason Wolf is a fine writer. He did a fantastic job. Listen, it's not an easy job being a beat writer in the National Football League. There's a lot of pressure. There are a lot of people. I thought he did a great job. He always spun it towards the positive, which is what I try to do.
What should we do with this banner?
Oh, the banner right there on Broadway. I'd say keep it up. It's a positive reminder of what a great Titans beat writer this guy was. No, don't get me wrong. Eric Bacharach is a fantastic beat writer. He does a great job. But now we have a reminder of Jason Wolf and the great job that he did covering the Tennessee Titans. I think it's great. Don't you, Sport?
What do you think about Nashville drivers in general and traffic in the city of Nashville?
Listen, Sport, it's tough to get around this city. And I understand sometimes people are going to cut some corners. If somebody cuts me off, I beep, I wave, I say, go ahead, Sport, you're good. It's fine. If they block the box, it's fine. As long as there's no pedestrians there. You have to stay positive. You know what I mean, Sport?
Positive, PK, is there a chance we could see you on Sunday Sports Central this weekend?
No.
Look, Sport, I will go on any show that anybody wants me to.
Yeah.
I look at it as a positive opportunity to spread some positivity to the city of Nashville. If I have to do it, I would love to do it.
All right.
It'd be fantastic.
We hope to have you on again. This has been one of the most positive segments we've ever had.
Stay positive, PK. He's so negative. Look at this guy. He's all negative.
He's just so negative.
Come on, Sport.
SEC now!
Now negative PK will do his version of positive PK. Right, yeah.
When we come back, actual Paul Kuharsky rebuts everything said by positive PK.
That was terrific.
When we come back, Paul, we'll have negative tone email Chad Withrow on the show.
See if they don't get in his file.
It'll be a lot of obvious sarcasm coming your way next.
Oh, man, we are live tonight from Tin Roof in Baltimore. And as we look around, I see Buck Rising over here with Rhett Bryan. What's Buck doing over there, Paul?
All Buck is doing is trying to get in everyone's photos, videos, radio. If he could be heard in the background here, he'd kill for it. It's kind of what you call a hipster hang-around.
We see News 2 was here, News Channel 5 here as well.
Buck Rising.
And four.
Buck Rising, the hipster vagrant, if you will.
They're all here.
He might not have a room tonight.
Coming up, more Greg Cosell, where we're here, his discussion on the read option and how, whether you buy this or not, Greg is telling you, it's not necessarily the read option. Those are design runs for Lamar Jackson that you'll see tomorrow night. That's coming up on the Midday 180 and 104.5 The Zone Titans playoff special tonight, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans.
Lamar Jackson chased from the pocket, running to his right. He'll tuck at the 10. He's at the 5. Sidesteps a man at the 3. Spins in. Touchdown, Lamar Jackson. An unbelievable athletic display.
Motion out from Ricard, the tight end to the left side. Gus Edwards, the back behind Lamar Jackson. Jackson fakes it to Edwards, and he will walk in, coasting in, sliding in for the touchdown. Lamar Jackson untouched around the left side for 3 yards and a 6-0 lead for the Ravens.
Jackson will keep it off the fake. Left side, 15. 10, 5, Jackson taken down at the 1 yard line, just shy of the pylon. No, they signal touchdown. He got in, hitting the pylon. And the read option completely baffling Nick Vigil on the edge for the Bengals.
And let's also get one other thing straight. Jackson, as a runner, when he does those dive handoffs, 85 to 90% of those guys are designed runs. They're not zone reads, they're designed runs. So this whole thing about, oh, he's reading, he's not reading. They're designed runs because he can beat anybody on the line of scrimmage to the perimeter.
Greg Cosell there, who told us earlier this week the Titans must have their best tackling performance of the season tomorrow night, because the league's MVP capable of making you miss even when it appears you have great positioning. It's the Midday 180 Titans playoff special tonight. 104.5 The Zone, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. If you need great health care coverage and an affordable price, let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it, protecting Tennesseans since 1947. Lamar Jackson sat out the fourth quarters, the entire fourth quarters twice this season. He sat out 14:43 of the Rams game. He sat out 9:58 of the Jets game, 9:57 of the Texans game, and he sat out the entire Week 17 against Pittsburgh. He still led the NFL in passing and total touchdowns, and the Ravens were the only team to score 500 points. He sat out that much, and the offense was still that prolific. Coordinators have not been able to figure it out.
Some ridiculous, ridiculous numbers. A question I've been kind of posing all week, do the Titans need to do what people have done better, or do they need to do something different? And that's an answer we get tomorrow night.
Yeah, and look, Jayon Brown is not playing in this game. Wesley Woodyard and David Long are the obvious pieces to the puzzle we can discuss, and they deserve discussion. But I think that absence of Brown, while it's a big loss, it gives Dean Pease an opportunity to create a wrinkle that Baltimore hasn't seen on tape. Because you can use Amani Hooker, you could use Dane Cruikshank, things you haven't shown on film that Baltimore can't necessarily prepare for. My initial thought would be, oh, it's going to be more Woodyard. And they're better with Woodyard in there because he sets the defense better.
But you would put Woodyard in traditionally in rundowns.
Right.
Well, A, are there traditional rundowns in this game? And B, this is not a traditional running team. Woodyard's not a help in this run game.
But he can't. He
if
can
you could
be.
Tell me Ingram's running, I'd put him in.
But it's not all about chasing. I think I would say, yeah, you chase the option. But Woodyard would be very good in the middle with Ingram. Like, if you just have him force
the
middle.
But can you tell me when Ingram's running?
Well, no, but, I mean, it's all about gap assignment and alignment. That's the cliche.
Right.
And if Woodyard's alignment and assignment is that area, I think he could be good in that area.
But if I see Woodyard in there, I'm trying to attack him a little bit because if I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm making moves against slow guys that are leaving him in the dust.
And he's made moves against fast guys.
I know.
You know, just keep everything in front of you. That's the difficult part that, again, I just read off the stats, Chad. Defenses have not figured this out at all. That's what's so impressive.
Well, and you have to make them be precise with it, right? And you said a lot of times when he's throwing it to a tight end seam, let's say, in that RPO, it's a tight end running wide open because someone blew the assignment because they bit on the run fake or whatever it may be. Just be in position well enough to where he has to make good throws, precise throws.
You can hit us up on Twitter, at Midday180 is where you can find us there. Coach Mack, Dave McGinnis, will be walking this way shortly. And we will also, as I look across the way for the second consecutive week, Titans General Manager John Robinson just walked in, Paul.
Very fancy.
That's right. We will discuss the matchup. As Coach Mack's here. Coach Mack's
busting right in.
He's back. He's not leaving.
Oh, J-Rob's headed this way.
He's not
okay.
leaving.
Hey, we'll tell Ryan Albanese. We'll give him a heads up. We're going to take an early break. When we come back, Titans General Manager John Robinson joins us on 104.5 The Zone. It's the Midday 180 Titans Playoff Special on 104.5 The Zone, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. If you need great health care coverage at an affordable price, let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it, protecting Tennesseans since 1947. Crew's all here, including the crew from last week who drove from Nashville here to Baltimore, and the same crew who came from the team hotel to join us last week joins us now. Coach Mack walks down after Mass with the general manager, John Robinson. J-Rob, welcome.
The general manager gave me a ride. That's exactly how I got here.
Not walking today.
Got to take care of Coach Mack, right?
Chauffeured?
Absolutely. Is there any other way to go, Paul?
Now I feel like Coach Mack's probably like Withrow. You say, I'll get an Uber, and Chad says, I don't have Uber.
I'm a big Lyft guy. Very loyal to Lyft over here.
I don't understand that app.
Have you always been superstitious?
Mojo? No, not really.
Okay.
Not really. I mean,
so you're just being nice tonight by coming back for the second consecutive week?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and come back and see these, you know, these awesome fans that are down here.
How about this?
No, it's great. There's probably, I don't know, 150 people in
there.
There's
more coming tomorrow. Because of the night game, you can get one night hotel stay, direct flight this week.
Boom.
There's more coming tomorrow to tailgate for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a pretty good showing last week. I mean,
yeah.
They're in Gillette. I mean, I saw two-tone blue in a stadium that's, you know, typically red, white, and blue. And just super excited that our fans are behind us. And there was a crowd outside of St. Thomas that was waving flags and yelling for us on the trip up.
We have spent all week talking about Lamar Jackson. Have you been watching him this week?
Yeah, I mean, I've watched him. You know, I took a look because, I mean, we didn't play those guys, but I just kind of wanted to see what those guys were doing, how they were having success. And Coach Harbaugh and Coach Roman have done a great job utilizing what he's really, really good at. And he's super, super athletic. He's quick. He's elusive. He's fast. He's got a cannon for an arm. You know, he's got playmakers around him. He's utilizing the playmakers. And he's just an impressive season.
In terms of how different they are, like in the span of your NFL lifetime, what they're doing, is it the most different offense that we've seen?
Well, I think it ends up being, after the ball is snapped and the motions are in the shifts, it ends up being zone or power or some form of that. But it's all of that window dressing that they put on the front side of it that you've really got to account for. It's, you know, if you're out of a gap, if you're in the wrong spot, like, they're going to make you pay. So we just got to do a great job of communicating and being on top of the details.
Common misconception I think a lot of people fall for is, oh, don't fall for the window dressing. But when you're playing defensive football, you have to account for everything. There has to be someone on an assignment with every possible option that they have. So how difficult is that when you've got that much motion going on and that many possibilities on every single play?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's assignment football. It's, you know, if you're supposed to be on this guy or you're supposed to be on that guy, you've got to be on him. You can't think, hey, I see this, I'm going to go make this play because you've busted the assignment. And that's how they make you pay. And that's been, that's been stressed all week, is playing assignment football. Be where you're supposed to be on who you're supposed to be for four quarters.
John Robinson, our guest, that we've mentioned this week how quick they get out to leads. They jump out quickly. But when you put in perspective, Lamar has set out two full fourth quarters, and then he set out like 14 minutes of another game in the fourth. He set out the final 8 minutes of another game. That puts into perspective how quickly and how he puts up all these offensive numbers early in games, and then teams are left chasing. Fast start tomorrow is imperative.
Yeah, that's what they've done. They've been able to jump out on teams really quick, get the ball rolling downhill, and then you know, you're kind of playing a catch-up game, you know, for the next three quarters, just trying to get points back on the board and trying to get over on the sideline defensively and fix where you've kind of had some miscues.
2 years ago in the divisional round, I remember thinking, you know what, this team has taken strides, and maybe they're not ready to get over that hump yet. Personally, that's what I was thinking. This week, I think my feeling is that the team, albeit a sixth seed, is certainly capable. There's a different feeling about this group than what I had 2 years ago. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think these guys have really bought in philosophically to what we're about. They believe in the message that Coach Vrabel has put forward on a weekly basis. They understand that momentum is key, that practice is key, and then having a really good week of practice and building towards the end of practice in every situation and trying to cover every situation is paramount to our success.
So a week ago I asked you about specifically about A.J. Brown and drafting someone and having a vision for them, and then that vision coming true quickly in year one. Similar question this week I want to ask you, John, is when you put a team together and you put that team in mind to go win playoff games, possibly on the road if you have to, in any style that you need to win it, how fulfilling is it to see that team go on the road and beat a defensive-minded Patriots team with that many carries for your running back, over 180 yards, only 71 yards through the air, and find a way to get it done on the road?
I think that's what that's the makeup of our football team is kind of whatever it takes. It's a game plan league. Every week is different. You're not going to go in with a canned game plan for 16 weeks or when you get to the postseason 1 week at a time. It's taking your opponent and trying to put a game plan together so that you minimize the points they scored and you put yourself in position to score points. And the belief in that philosophy and the belief in that mindset and having the players on this football team that buy into the concept, you know, that buy into the, hey, I might get one target, but I'm going to be asked to go in there and crack a safety to try to spring a run. And that's the mindset of our football team. That's the makeup of our football team. We're excited to have another week to play.
While Derek's shown himself not to be particularly emotional about things, he also is pretty rough with us on Wednesdays now during the media availabilities.
Awesome.
You guys all like it. Sour Derek during the week has led to some pretty good Derek on the weekends.
Opposite of positive PK is what
right,
you're saying.
Yeah, right. We just had a segment with positive PK. You'd love him. He has heard all week about Lamar Jackson as this singular, distinctive guy, whereas he's been a pretty singular, distinctive guy this weekend. Is that rattling around somewhere inside that helmet, you think?
I think Derek wants to do whatever he needs to do to help the football team win the football game.
What he needs to do is probably have a big game. So do you think that rattles around in the helmet somewhere?
I think if we hand him the ball, he wants to run through somebody and try to make yards and hopefully get in the end zone. I mean, I think that's the mindset of everybody on our football team. Whatever is asked of them through the course of 60 minutes to go out and help us win the football game, it's all about the team, and that's what we're about.
They've got some speedy linebackers. Is this the kind of game where you're – big physical guys might need to put a shoulder down, knock somebody down before they run away from everybody, as opposed to a lot of games where they've just run away from everybody?
Yeah, that defense, they've got a lot. They've got several Pro Bowlers over there. It's a stout front seven guys. Judon's having a heck of a year. Brandon Williams is outstanding. Pierce is great. Bynes is having a great year. There's a lot of guys that can make plays for those guys. We've got to get a hat on a hat when we're running the football. We got to create lanes for Derek. And then when they blitz a lot, and we've got to be able to kind of stand in there and protect those guys, give Ryan time to throw the ball down the field.
We all know you're from the Tennessee. You know the history of the Titans and the Ravens. The more things change with the offenses putting up the points we've seen, the more they stay the same. This is still a trenches game tomorrow night.
It is. I said it earlier in the week, when I was talking a couple times, with our in-house staff, it's about the lines of scrimmage. We've got to win the line of scrimmage on offense. We got to win the line of scrimmage on defense. That's what it's going to boil down to. It's going to be a fight. And we're going to trade punches. There may be times when we get up against the rope, so we just got to keep punching and get to the bell and come out in the next round and keep punching.
Every Titans fan remembers that 2000 game. When Titans were the number one seed, Ravens came in and stole it. We talked to Samari Roll today. He said it's the game he never gets over, toughest one he ever had, and he was on the Ravens side of the other one in 2008. I can't remember. I can't do the math quick enough to figure out how old you were. Where were you when that unfolded, and what do you remember about that?
2000, I was probably at Nichols coaching then. I had just gotten there, and I just remember the Titans coming off that Super Bowl appearance and still being a formidable opponent in the AFC. And once I got to New England, played against them several times. And it was going to come down to New England, Indy, when they had Peyton. And
you could circle it.
And yeah, you could circle it in Baltimore. That's what it was. It was going to be those three teams, and one of those teams was going to, punch their way to the Super Bowl. So they're a really good football team. We've played them over the last several years. It's always a slugfest against those guys. I think it's a mindset of Coach Harbaugh and our staff as well.
When you looked at Hollywood Brown in this past draft and saw what he did at Oklahoma, is this pretty much what you expected in terms of how he plays and what he brings for this Ravens team?
Yeah, FAST, fast.
Yep.
Like he can straight run. He is he can take the top off. He's quick. If you don't get a hand on him at the line, if you just let him run past you, and Lamar is able to extend plays and move around back there, he's going to uncover because he's so fast.
Is that the key, not giving him a free release in terms of?
Well, they move him around a little bit, and you know he kind of siphons through, you know, through traffic, and he finds a way to get open, and he's such a slick, I don't know if that's actual scouting term, but he's a slick football player. He's just slick. He can kind of get up, he can get away from guys and not let you jam him. So we've got to do a good job of accounting for him, for sure.
You're a scout. You can make anything you want a scouting term.
Slick? I'm going to put that in the dictionary.
I like it. What?
Kiefer's going to be saying that now.
How hard is it to make it through a day like tomorrow? Is it incredibly slow for somebody like you waiting even just to get over to the stadium, waiting to get down and walk around the field and start that process of killing time?
Yeah, well, that's what it is. That's what it was last week, you know, up in Foxborough, and we stayed in Providence. So just trying to, you know, take some time and breathe a little bit and it's most importantly for the players, because I'm not going to play a snap tomorrow. I don't know that I could tackle anybody, but it's most important for the players.
You tackle some people in the locker room postgame.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. But just being mindful of letting it build up and not getting too eager and just getting yourself ready to go play a game tomorrow night.
I think you'd be better at getting tackled than tackling.
No, I'd be better at like three technique, maybe a quick D tackle.
You want to show the technique on Paul?
He'd be a quick.
Well, give the 3-point stance quickly. We got something we want to do for you. In fact, do it right up against the edge of the stage right now.
I see a quick D tackle minus the quick.
Okay, here we go. Put a hand down, Paul.
Yeah. That's where it stops for him.
Let's play some soccer.
Verbal sparring, no physical sparring.
I'm good at the verbal part.
Trust me, I've seen so many people.
You're like that dog that barks a lot and then runs.
Yeah. If you challenge him to go out in the
grass.
I'm
not much of a runner.
He's not following you out there.
Just ask former News 5 sports anchor Hope Hines about Paul.
He was over 60.
He would still whip you at 70. hey, it is a long day tomorrow. It's long for me and you. Imagine being
I'm waking up at 11:30, so it's not that long for me.
Yeah, I'll have had two meals by then. I'll have two meals.
Yeah, don't worry about me, John. It goes by relatively fast.
Hey, here's to next week. You're hosting with Mike Keith for the Mike Vrabel Show, because that's the possibility there for prep work for Coach Vrabel, and that next week we are doing this in either Houston or Kansas City.
That'd be
awesome.
This has
been a blast.
Yeah, it's been great. Again, the good Lord has just blessed our football team so much, and can't say enough about, you know, everybody that's been involved in the process, from the players to the coaches to all the support staff. But just thank God for the opportunity that he's given us.
Good luck.
I appreciate it. Let's go.
It's going to be a fun game tomorrow night.
Enjoy those two meals before 11:30 tomorrow morning.
Thanks so much.
I'll try to keep them light. At least that's what my wife told me.
send
playoff season.
Send some leftovers down
hopefully,
the street.
Hopefully my New Year's resolution starts mid-February.
enjoy those egg whites, John.
John, thank you for doing this.
Appreciate you guys.
Coach Mack, you did it again. He said, hey, but Mask gets over at 8:30. I don't know if I'm going to have time because it's not walkable this week. I said, Mack, you're coming down with J-Rob.
Yeah, absolutely.
You'll make it.
Absolutely. I walked down, and he was walking out, and he said, are we doing it again? I said, absolutely. He said, I got a car. And so we went and got in the car and came down here. Ryan Cowden was with us. Ralph Ockenfels was running down the stairs. He said, Mike, tell him he's got 1 minute. And the car was moving when he came running out. But, yeah, hey, look, he's the best. He absolutely is the best. And everything that this football team has done, he deserves massive credit for what this football team is right now and where it is. And the pairing of he and Mike Vrabel by Amy Adams Strunk. This franchise is going places. This is fun, guys, and this is what it's all about. It really is.
It's big to add some levity to, you know.
Oh,
there's obviously a lot of tension, a lot of stress, and he's able to come out.
And the haze in the barn for him.
Laugh it up a little bit. Break the ice.
Yes. And let me tell you, look, I've been doing this a long time. I've been around a lot of general managers. This guy gets it. He gets it on so many different levels, and that's what keeps this thing going. Because when you've got a general manager like that, as a former head coach, that's exactly the kind of general manager you want, I promise you. Because he is all in. When you're at practice, he's all in at practice. He's in out there helping them, and he'll do anything he can to help, but he just gets it on so many fronts. And that's why we're sitting here today, guys.
Mac, you would agree, Houston's a pretty good football team.
No.
Right?
Houston's a good football team, yes.
Pretty good.
Yes.
They were here in Baltimore in Week 11. You saw them firsthand.
Yeah, I did that.
They did not keep that game close.
No, they didn't. And it looked to me like they got caught up in just what John Robinson was saying. They got caught up chasing a lot of the eye candy on that offense. And once they did, then they got in trouble. I don't think we'll see that tomorrow.
Field position's huge tomorrow on the kicking games, punt and field goal.
Yeah, I mean, we just saw the importance of it last week, of field position. We will see the same thing happen this week, too. The most important thing is being able to keep this score as close as we can for as long as we can, and then I think it'll start to gin our way.
Mac, Titans radio tomorrow. It's going to be a blast in the booth.
Absolutely. I mean, you guys are the best. And look, these fans. I mean,
how about this?
It's fabulous. Yeah. And look, John Robinson making the move, saying let's go back over there. I mean, guys, we're all in on this.
A huge thank you, Mac. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you. Thank you to John Robinson for joining us. Greg Cosell for providing his insight. Ryan Albanese for making the show happen for us tonight. 3HL for holding down the first hour of this special. Philip Noel, who has been
Marathon man
from the start at 10 a.m. this morning with Midday 180.
Hell of a job.
He's seen it the whole way through. Let's just put it this way, Kirby would not have. I take that back. Kirby would have done a great job. Thank you to David Reed as well. We are back at it tomorrow with zone coverage. Follow us on Twitter at Midday 180. We're about to hit it at 10 Roof in Baltimore. Titans and Ravens tomorrow.
Don't block the box. Lock the locks. Gas pedal.